had to turn it off and turn it back on again just to make sure we got this attached. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody this morning. It is indeed a blessing, right, to be here. We know that every day that we wake up is indeed a blessing that's given to us by God. And there are so many precious souls that can't say the same. So we should definitely be thankful, at least if we have nothing else, if we have our life and opportunity, another opportunity, right, to make things right. Go ahead and turn to those who have your Bibles to James chapter 1. That's where we're going to be looking at. And we're going to stay in James chapter 1. We're probably not going to finish it. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to look through these chapters. And we're going to look at some things that we can pull from James chapter 1 to help us in our day-to-day. This is just a prelude to James, the epistle. Faith without works cannot be called faith. Faith without works is dead. And we find that in this chapter, and chapter 2, that is, in this book, verse 26. And a dead faith is worse than a faith, no faith at all, that is. Faith must work. It must produce. It must be visible. Verbal faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be there, but it must be more. It must inspire action. Throughout his epistle to the Jewish believers, James integrates true faith and everyday practical experience by stressing that true faith must manifest itself in works of faith. Faith endures. Battery's dead. Is this thing working here or? Technical issues. Okay, we're going to get the mic taken care of and then All right, thank you, sir. All right, we'll try this again. First, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. We are talking about the Israelites. But then in verse 2, it says, my brethren. Aha. Now who are we talking about? Okay, so we got Israelites that are also Christians, right? They're brethren. So, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers means different temptations. When we go through all of our trials and tribulations, right? How many of us are going through trials and tribulations today? Oh, man, everybody, right? How many of us smile and count it all joy? I have to force my arm up. Okay. Just be honest. It's not an easy thing, is it? The road to Christianity, not the road to Christianity, but the road of a Christian is a difficult road. We got uphill, right? We got gravel. We got stones. We got mountains to climb. I mean, it is not an easy road. And I always say that Christians are the toughest people I know. Why? It is easier to follow the devil. That's easy than to follow God. Why? Because it goes against the nature of man, the flesh, okay? We're fleshly. And so we have fleshly desires that want to be satisfied. To say no to that, okay? To say no to those Twinkies and the donuts, okay? And the cake and the whole bag of tater chips, right? Right before bedtime. That's about 10 pounds when I wake up the next day, right? You know how many times I said yes to it? That's a bad thing, right? So even though I know it was unhealthy, sin is unhealthy, but we say yes to it. The flesh says yes to it. So it's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. We're always fighting, right? Every day. Does the devil give up on us? Does the devil take a vacation? You know, people going on summer vacation. Oh, the devil doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't even sleep. You ever had that bad dream that set the way you were going to be that next day? Uh-huh. He may have had a little something to do with that. He tries to get you when you're sleeping, in your thoughts. You know, that's what he does, is planting these seeds. If it's whether you have doubt, you know, doubt that God is going to do what he promises to do. A little lack of faith, right? Questioning God in a certain way. And then what we do is we justify our sins, don't we? Well, everybody's doing it, you know. Everybody's cheating on their taxes, so why shouldn't I, right? Everybody's doing it anyway. And we can do that with so many other sins. But this part here, count it all joy. Why do you think God wants us as Christians? And that's who he's talking to, right? Talking as Christians. Why does he want us to count it all joy when we go through all these trials and tribulations? Why? Why would God expect us? Does the world love going through trials and tribulations? Does the world get excited about trials and tribulations? I mean, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
And so in order for us to really understand who God is, he allowed those things to come into our lives.
I agree with you, because what we're about to read is going to basically sum that up. Let's continue. knowing, now this is why God wants us to count it all joy, why he puts us through this. As Christians, she's right, we have to separate the world from Christians. We go through things because God wants to, he's always trying to help us, and to everything he does for us, we know it's going to be for the positive, right? Because every good gift comes from above. So if it's bad, we know it didn't come from him, right? Exactly. Okay, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Because most people are not going to sit there and get all happy and count it joy when they go, when bad trials and tribulations happen. Most people are not going to do that. But what Brother Manuel said is we do it out of love, which is very true. Because what does God say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And what is one of these commandments in James chapter 1, verse 2? My brethren, count it all joy. He's telling us to do this when you fall into diverse different temptations. Knowing this, now this is why we count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, worketh what? Okay, there's a reward for it. You see, that's what we have to look at it. If we know God is behind it, we know there's got to be something good in it, right? If it's coming from God, it's got to be good. Don't we, oh God, give me patience, man. I tell you, I just went off today, and I went off on my kids, and I went off on my coworkers. I went off on my neighbors. I went off on a stranger, right? I went off on the lady in line, you know, at the grocery store. I went off at on the cashier woman, you know. Don't we go off sometime? Goodness gracious, give me patience, God. Well, how is he going to give us patience? Well, faith is part of it. Yeah, we have to have that faith in order to exercise that patience. But the formula teaches us that we got to go through the what? Trials and tribulations. Verse 2. See, that's where we follow it. It's just like a mathematical formula. So it says, my brother, in verse 2, count it all joy when you go through different diverse temptations, right? All these temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's how we receive patience. And then in verse 4 it says, but let patience, verse 4, but patience, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So there's your formula. You go through the trials and tribulations, then what's the byproduct of going through the trials and tribulations? You develop patience. And then what does patience help you get to? Perfection. Aren't we always trying to be more like Christ Jesus every single day? He had these qualities, all these qualities Jesus Christ had, because even though he went through and he was tempted in all areas as we are tempted as human beings, he never sinned. He never sinned. He was perfect, right? And so that's what happened. So I lose my job. I go off, okay? I've got no money coming in. I don't know how the bills are going to get paid. And it's like I'm praying on my knees, God, I need something. Ain't nothing coming in. And then my friend said, man, let's go to the bar, man. We just drown your sorrows. And so I go down there and get drunk and everything, and I'm doing this because I'm like, well, I don't have no job. What am I going to do? And all this stuff. And so I'm not giving God an opportunity, right? I decide I'm just going to give up. That means I don't have any faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. You can't see it. I don't have a job. I don't know how the rent's going to get paid. I don't know how I'm going to feed myself. I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. I can't see it. But if I have faith that God is true to his word, should I be worried? Should I get all upset and sad and go out and drink and get drunk and just give up? I mean, that's saying, God, I don't think you're going to help me, so you know what? I'm going to take care of this myself. I'm just going to forget my woes. And people do that, right? Get angry, question God, why are you doing this to me? You know, I got to feed my family. You know, what kind of God are you? And people will leave the faith. okay? And stop believing in God because their life has gone downhill, you know. They've lost everything. Sometimes you got to lose everything in order to gain everything, let me tell you. Because I had to lose a whole lot, almost everything. And so, knowing this, that the trying of your trying of your faith worketh patience. So what does this tell us? Verse 3 tells us that when you're going through all these trials and tribulations, that that is the working of faith. That's the testing of your faith. Okay, that's how your faith is tested. How is God going to know that we're faithful people? Okay, let's go back to the children of Israel. All right? They're worshiping God. They're happy. They love God. And they're obeying all of his commandments. And what does he do for them? He blesses them, right? He takes away all their enemies, and he blesses the works of their hand. They prosper, and everything is hunky-dory. Then what happens? Huh? Yeah, they mess it up, don't they? They forget about God, right? Start worshiping idols, start getting fleshly, you know, worldly, and they just forget about God. Then God has to send the enemies to suppress them, right? And to afflict them, basically. And so then after that, they cry out to God, God, we're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry, you know, please forgive us. And then he has mercy on them, and then he'll defeat their enemies for them. He'll get a leader to guide them, and they get back to worshiping God again. Everything gets good, and then all of a sudden, they do the same thing over again. And you can read through the Old Testament over and over again. They forget to teach their children about God. They go back to worshiping idols, worshiping Baal. I mean, it was just, my head was spinning. What an awesome God we have, because he kept forgiving them time after time after time. He's forgiven his children, right? Same as he does for us today. But thanks to Christ Jesus and grace that we have, right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so many ideas are coming to mind of how to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you trust in God, you're going to go on with your normal life, do what you have to do. But you're not going to do anything to try to make that situation happen.
Exactly.
You're going to let God present itself.
Okay. I was a bad guy in my time. I used to cook up meth, right? And I know how to cook up meth. Well, I lost my job, okay? Well, God, if you're going to make me lose my job, you ain't going to keep my job. Hey, I know how to make money. So now I listen to the I part. I decide I'm going to go back and I'm going to cook meth. I'm going to feed my family. If you won't do it, God, I'll do it myself. That's a lack of faith, right? Exactly, exactly. You got it. And we're going to get there in a little bit here, but you're absolutely right. That's the scary part, because the fact that we can try to blame God all day long, but he's not even involved. Yeah. It is, and we'll get to that in a little bit here. You're right. Verse 5 says, if any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. Now, why is verse 5 there? Verse 5 is saying, look at verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. What am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to what? Verse 2, count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations, right? I'm asking you to understand in faith that I'm building your patience and I'm helping you to be perfect. Well, let's say you don't see it that way. You know, you can't see it that way. You're having trouble seeing it that way. Yeah, God, I know you say this, but I don't feel that way. Then we've got a problem, right? We got a problem. And verse 5 tells us, if you like what? Uh-oh, we got a wisdom problem. So that means that we're not exercising the faith that God wants us to have. And that wisdom, it comes from the Word of God. You know, God, Word of God is wisdom. So that means that we got to work on even our wisdom. So if any of you like it, if you don't have it, then good. What do? Ask for it. And he's going to give liberally. He's going to give you more than you. Look at Solomon, you know. Solomon asked for wisdom. He gave him the wisdom greater than any man other than Jesus Christ, right? And gave him riches on top of it. He just wanted wisdom to be able to judge God's people, rightfully judge God's people. And so that way, if you find that you're not following this formula and you're having trouble following the formula, then ask God for the wisdom, okay, that's necessary to have this faith to be able to follow this formula. And you'll hear me say that a lot because it really is. I mean, it's like, have you ever seen you get a cabinet and you're going to build a cabinet and there's a schematic in there that tells you how to put that cabinet together? Completely, how to put it together, what parts go where. This is what this Bible's all about, right? It tells us where we came from. It gives us our history. It tells us the nature of mankind. You know, it gives us our science. It gives us everything that we need, our spirituality. And it tells us where we're going and how to get there. Okay? Everything is here. And what to do and the things to stay away from, the things not to do. So everything about being a human, you know, why am I here? That whole question, it's answered in the Bible. The whole duty of man is what? To fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. It even tells us that. It answers that question, oh, why am I here, right? Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. Now, this is the person that finds that he can't follow the formula. He needs the wisdom. We're going to ask God for it, right? But verse 6 says, let him ask in faith, not wavering. So in other words, when you ask God for it, know that he's going to give it to you. Right. Don't second think God. Don't think, well, if maybe, and think, I don't know if he'll do it. I asked for this before and he didn't give it to me, right? And so if you have a little doubt there, that's going to be an issue because that's what he says, wavering, not wavering, right? Go ahead, sir. Yeah. That's right.
No matter what. If we are repeating Hebrews 11, faith is the evidence of things.
Right. Exactly.
So it's not up to you.
That's right.
To determine how he's going to work things out.
Yeah, right.
That is God's responsibility.
And
so as a child, as children of the Lord, we are to come to him just as that.
As children. Yep.
In heaven and letting him know. Yeah, tell him what we want. Tell him specifically, and that's what prayer is all about.
That's right. We speak to him through prayer. That's right.
And letting him know, honestly, what it is that we want, even how we want it.
Yeah.
But leaving the decision
up to him. The wise one that knows exactly what you need and when you need it or even if you need it. Okay, so that's what we have to do. And I had a buddy of mine that killed himself, and that's because he had the talent to be a great musician, right? Singer in a band, never achieved that goal, and he decided to take his life, you know, because of it. I can say the same thing. So many of us woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? Could have been this, could have been that. I had the ability to do that. How do you know that God wanted you where you are now so that you will be where you are now today in the church? If you were successful and you were and your plans had come, let's say you fulfilled your plans, you may not be in the church, okay? And I realize that as well. So I put my faith in him. And I pray for things, but then whatever he gives me, I'm going to be happy with it, right? Whatever state you're in, be happy in that state. So with verse 6, don't ask wavering, right? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you ask God for something and you doubt whether he's going to give it to you, he's telling you, don't even expect it. Okay? You go to me and knowing that I'm going to give it to you. And that's why we should say, when we pray, we'll say, okay, thank you, God. I appreciate you giving that to me. And go on. Exactly. And then verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what got me. Because I realized I had an issue with that. I had an issue with doubting when I was praying for something. And in the back of my mind, I really didn't know. I didn't think God would give it to me. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm wavering like this wind. I'm tossed and turned. And not only spiritually, it says in 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, no wonder I can't complete anything, okay? I start projects, never complete it. Start, never complete. I was unstable because I didn't have the faith that I should have.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
How I deal with my detail, my whole detail is.
Yeah.
I asked God to help me get it started.
Uh-huh.
And I went all about my business.
That's it.
Every now and then I would see something, and then my mind would say, buy that.
Yeah,
buy that,
exactly.
Buy
the little voice.
And I would buy it all, and I would bring it home and just set it.
Yep. Exactly. That's it. You know, it's just you concentrate on worshiping God, and then he'll take care of the rest. I mean, that's what he does, right? Yes.
That verse you just said there.
Yeah.
I chose a worldly man.
Yeah.
All week long, hey, I'm my son. Oh God, it's Sunday. I need this favor.
Yeah.
Where is it gonna come from? It ain't gonna come.
No, it's not.
Sin all week long.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're about to get to something that we're about to find out that it's a lot on us. It's a lot on us, and we've been blaming God too much. So I'm going to say verse 9, let the brethren of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. I'll go through that a little bit because we have people who are homeless in this congregation right now. But verse 10 says, but the rich that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Verse 11 says, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flowers thereof falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it persisteth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Now, rich versus poor. You got the poor man, who may be poor physically, financially, right? But then he is halted up and esteemed, okay, spiritually. Because you'll have people that have nothing, that live on the street, that have more faith, that have more true religion, and that are better Christians than you have a person living in a mansion, right? That all that physical stuff and all the riches, that's going to fade away. But the most important thing is the person who has the faith. And that's why this congregation, it really inspires me when I meet people. And I've met many, okay, that lived on the street, that has lost everything, that made me get on my knees and say, what am I complaining about? Okay? And then I look up to them. They don't know it, but I have exalted them spiritually in my head. I'm thinking, wow, that's what it's all about. When you've lost everything and you can count, and you every day you praise God, you're not complaining, okay? And you can find all these wonderful things to say about God even though you have absolutely nothing, not even a place to live. Now that's faith, okay? That's true Christianity. And so that let that person be exalted spiritually. And let me tell you, the person that's so rich they don't need God, okay, that's a dangerous situation there, right?
I remember when I was on crack, and I remember when I was on the swing of that bridge.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
I believe things changed. And when I did that, things did change. Mm-hmm. And then I found out what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
So now that's what I do. I go to the jail. I go to the prison.
Exactly.
Anywhere God tells me,
got a ministry. Got a chaplain, you know, jail chaplain that gives his life, get the business, and we've seen that, right? That's right. Okay, so you come off the street. Then why is this other, why are the other one still on the street? Just a guess. Based on, why do you think? Why would you think? Huh? It's a mind. Some of it is definitely a mindset, but isn't God involved, right? God's involved.
And a lot of it goes back to Hebrews 11:1, faith something things hope for, and the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
You know, you gotta want something.
Well, you've got you, but you also remember this part too. Sometimes when people do get successful, Kelly's told us the story many times about the person that came here that was destitute.
Yeah.
Okay, full of religion. Okay, full of love of God. Then they got a check. Okay, came into a lot of money. And they disappeared. All right, went back into the world. And shortly after that, they died. So they left the church. They stopped giving, okay, because they got that blessing. Some people's blessing is to stay in the place that they are because they may not make it to heaven with money. You understand what I'm saying? So all of us are different. If you are the kind of person that can get a business and get the money and stuff like that and still stay on the straight and narrow, that's a blessing for you. But wonder if as soon as I get a couple of pennies, I'm back in the crack house. It's a curse to me. And doesn't God have the wisdom to know that? Each person's different, right?
Amen.
And there's I'm telling you, he's a merciful God. Yes, brother. No, you cannot. You definitely can't do that. You're not going to take anything with you. You're not going to take your mansion. Your kids are going to be fighting, and family members, and the government is going to be fighting to get your possessions. You won't take it with you. Let's go to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the God has promised in them that love him. So this is what keeps us going. Knowing that all the stuff that we go through, all the trials and tribulations, if we go through these things and we endure all these temptations, we have a crown of life prepared for us in heaven. That's what we focus on. That's called the long term. This is the short term here, okay? Short term is, yeah, I got to go through all the trials and tribulations. Yes, we're on the earth. Yes, there's a lot of evil going on, unfairness, right? I mean, we can go on and on about the evils that are going on today. But I'm telling you what, if we are focused on where we're going when this is all over, that's what we should be focused on. That's what our life should be focused on. And then verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted. This is the part we want to get to. Let no man say he is tempted when he is tempted. I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So a lot of times, God, why did you do that? Why did you tempt me with that, right? Why did you give me that money? You knew I had a problem with the crack, right? Why did you give me that money? If I didn't have that money, I wouldn't have went to that crack house. Why did you do that, God? And we blame God, okay? But then if we go by the scriptures, let no man say when he's tempted, okay, I'm tempted of God. God did not put that cake and ice cream in my basket when I went to the store. I did that. That was me, not God. I can't blame God for that, right? Go ahead, brother. Say it again. Well, I agree with it because what does it say? Every perfect gift is from above, right? So if it's not perfect, it didn't come from God. And 14 tells us, but every man is tempted. How am I tempted by all these temptations? When he's drawn away by his own lust. Uh-oh, it's the man in the mirror that did it. It wasn't. I was already wanting the crack. I was already wanting the alcohol. I was already wanting the Twinkies and donuts, okay? Whatever the temptation is, I was already wanting my neighbor's wife, okay? I was already in there. Wasn't God that put that temptation in front of me? That's not how he tempts us. He doesn't tempt us with evil because he can't be tempted with it. But we're drawn away when we're drawn by our own lust, and then we're enticed. So verse, we could have made other choices. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust, and then we're enticed. So it's in here first. Then when lust conceiveth, that means when I've looked at enough pornography magazines, right? And then all of a sudden it gets that lust starts building up. I got to act on that lust now. Now I'm going to go to Baby Do's or Baby O's or whatever the name of the girly clubs are. I'm going to be in there, okay? Or somewhere else. I'm going to walk out, bro. Beautiful women, beautiful smiles, but man, where's the money that used to be in my wallet? Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. Uh-oh. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So these are the formula. We look at it like a formula. This is what we have to look at. So now I'm not going to blame God. When I go through these temptations, when I see myself being tempted, when I'm like, oh, God, why'd you put that in front of me? Why'd you put that? No. It's you. It's your own lust. Now I need to do something about it. I need to get on my knees. I need to pray about it, right? Because I'm lacking some. I need some wisdom. I need some faith. Okay, I think we've gone over a little bit. Any questions we have before? Yes. Mm-hmm.
You gotta actually believe that.
Oh yes.
And
it's death. Okay, and that's what it's saying. Sin is death. And so the formula is I am lusting over sin. Then I'm enticed by the sin. I give over. I mean I'm overwhelmed by it. And now I'm gonna act out on that sin. That's sin. It brings about sin. And then now I've committed the sin, and sin brings forth death. So the formula is, the opposite of that, is to resist that, right? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. And then all these things will be added to us, all things Matthew chapter 6 talks about, you know, the food, the clothing, you know, what we're going to wear, not the worry, the don't worry chapter, right? And Matthew chapter 6. So we don't need to worry about anything. God's going to take care of it. But we need to understand that we need to seek first the kingdom. So if we're about his commandments, if we do what Ecclesiastes tells us to do, the whole duty of man is to fear God, keep his commandment. Jesus Christ gives us a great commission to go throughout the world making disciples, right? Teaching the gospel. So if we're teaching that gospel, making disciples, and we're obeying the commandments of God, then guess what? We can flee from death, which is sin. All right. Any other questions? Good class. Appreciate you guys. Pray that God will bless us. And I hope for this James, just read that on your own and keep that and use it because it definitely works, let me tell you. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. I'm actually trying to get in.
I didn't understand. I understood the gospel, but I just wasn't related to all the other stuff. I mean, I live by my